राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि वो जय ओम विष्णुपद परमहंस परवृषगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद श्रील अभय चरणानंद भक्ति विरांत साई महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, नामाचार्य श्रील ठाकुर हरिदास की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। गंगा देवी की जय। यमुना मई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी रानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। इस्कान विभूति संस्थापक आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री श्री ललित विशाखा सहज राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समस्त गोटीस, ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समस्त गोटीस, all glory to the Samal devotees, all glory to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Shri Prabhupada. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामो भगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय। This is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 37. Today we will be discussing texts 1 through 6, and maybe I'll mention in passing 7 and 8, because that will finish the section of the chapter that deals with the killing of Keshi demon. But first, we want to glorify our predecessor Acharya, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, whose appearance day is today. He was born of Narayani Devi, mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Chaitanya Bhagavat also, Vrindavan Das Thakur is there. He's the author of Chaitanya Bhagavata. Actually, he's considered to be the Vyas of the Chaitanya Lila. As Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedic literatures, he was the one who compiled the first important biography, hagiography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, called Chaitanya Bhagavata. We'll say more about that, but in his preface to the Chaitanya Bhagavata, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written, Narayani Devi raised her child in the home of the father of Malini Devi, where she had accepted shelter. She was widowed even as she was pregnant. She lost her husband. And so she took shelter of Srivas Thakur and his family. And so the boy grew up to be a great devotee. He was born 4 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And that means that he would have only been about 20 years old when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. He accompanied Janavad Devi to the Kethari Mahotsava, a famous festival, first Gaura Parima festival. And as we mentioned, he's been glorified by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as the Vyas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. It's stated that the pastimes of Krishna have been described in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Vedvyas. Vrindavan Das is the Vedvyas of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. He has composed Chaitanya Mangala, which destroys any auspiciousness for those who hear it, so that we can understand the glories of Chaitanya Nitai. The essence of the conclusions regarding devotional service is expanded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the limits of the conclusions regarding Krishna Bhakti. He has composed this great literature to uplift mankind. To compose such a work is not conceivable for a human being. Therefore, we can understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is speaking through him. Never think otherwise. Acharya man vijaniyan avamanita karhetita. At any time, you should never think this Acharya is from New York, or he's only from Mumbai, or, you know, he's from a Jewish background or something. You can't think like this. And actually, sometimes they say Srila Prabhupada, some of his instructions were culturally conditioned. You ever heard this one? Culturally conditioned. Bogus. All bogus. 100% bogus. Actually offensive. And we'll say some more about that in a moment. But so, this is his empowered work, Chaitanya Bhagavata. It was originally titled Chaitanya Mangala. So, then he continues here that I offer my obeisances tens of millions of times at the lotus feet of that person who has given us such a scripture. Just like Srila Prabhupada has distributed Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, no Acharya ever did that. Nobody. Ever. And still some rascals are thinking in their heads that, no, you know, he's Bengali and, you know. From the foreword of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Prabhupada is naming some books that are written to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's Chaitanya Charita by Murari Gupta, Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur, and Chaitanya Bhagavata, the latter work by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was then considered the principal authority on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. He was highly revered while composing his important work. Vrindavan Das, fearing that it would become too voluminous, avoided elaborately describing many of the events of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, particularly the later ones. He writes in the Adi Lila, chapter 8, text number 33, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata was originally entitled Sri Chaitanya Mangala, but when Srila Lochan Das Thakur later wrote another book called Sri Chaitanya Mangala, later, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur changed the name of his own book, which is now therefore known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata. He wrote it first. He's not saying, hey, I got a copyright. Humility is one of the things that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says we should string around our necks, wear it like a kavach, humility. So, he changed the name of his own book. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has already informed us that in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has described whatever Vrindavan Das Thakur has not mentioned. This acceptance of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami indicates his acceptance of the disciplic succession. A writer of transcendental literature never tries to surpass the previous acharyas. Well, he didn't understand certain things. So we have to improve, and we've got to edit the books, and we've got to kind of like distance ourselves from certain instructions or certain things that Srila Prabhupada said. If you hear this kind of nonsense, you should drive that person out. Okay. So we therefore, like our esteemed predecessors, we should offer our obeisances tens of millions of times at the lotus feet of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, and then we can get some mercy that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. Only by blessings. Nothing happens without blessings. We're all dependent, helpless. And if we develop the appropriate humility, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, then we can maybe make some advancement by their grace, by divine grace. Chapter 37 describes the killing of the horse demon Keshi, and then it goes into Narad Muni's glorification of Krishna and his pastimes, particularly those which would happen in the future, and then he describes also Krishna's killing of Vyomasura. Today we're going to talk about the killing of Keshi. On Kamsa's order, the Keshi demon assumed the form of a huge horse and went to Vraja. As he approached, his loud neighing terrified all the inhabitants, and they began looking for Sri Krishna. when he saw the demon, Krishna came forward and challenged him to come near. Keshi charged Krishna and tried to strike him with his front legs, but the Lord seized them, whirled the demon around several times, and then threw him a distance of 100 bow lengths. Raise your hand if you can do that. Can you pick up a horse with one hand and throw him 100 bow lengths away? That's about, what, 600 feet or something. So this is Krishna. It doesn't end there. It gets better. Just keep listening. So Keshi then remained unconscious for some time. When the demon regained consciousness, he furiously charged Krishna again, his mouth agape. Then the Lord thrust his left arm into the horse demon's mouth. And as Keshi tried to bite the arm, it felt like a red-hot iron rod. Krishna's arm expanded more and more, finally choking the demon. And in extreme agony, Keshi gave up his life. Jai! Lord Krishna then removed his arm. He stood calmly, showing no pride at having killed this demon, as the demigods showered down flowers from the sky and glorified the Lord of prayers. Krishna never breaks character in Krishna Lila. Even he just does this astounding thing, still he's acting like a Mugdha Balaka, the innocent boy. This is the wonder of Krishna's pastimes. According to Vishnu Purana, after hearing everything about all the news about what Krishna's intentions were and where he was and what was going on, and after considering all this, Kamsa considered also what Krishna had already done, and he was infuriated and very anxious also, and he wanted to kill both Rama and Janardhan, that means Krishna Balaram, these two, before they even had a chance to grow up. So he planned. First he sent Keshi to attack at Vrindavan, that we're hearing about today. If that failed, Kamsa's plan was, then Akrura was to bring them to Mathura to see the wrestling match. And first, Kamsa would station Kuvalayapida outside the arena just to kill them before they even got in. And even if that somehow failed also, then the wrestlers were there. Big guys. What is his name? Mushtika Chanura. Big pahlwans. They're kind of like sumo wrestlers. Huge. And they eat a big pile of besan ka halwa every day. They can do this. They're accustomed. Very physically fit, extremely. So anyway, this was the plan. So today we'll hear about Keshi. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sri Krishna Samhita chapter 8, he mentions that there are all 18 anarthas. Actually, there's more than 18, but he mentions specifically 18, which are obstacles to Vrajabhajan. And there he mentions in text 29, bhakti tejo samrdhyato svotkarsha jnanavan naraha kadachit tushta buddhyato keshiknam avamanyate keshi. In the form, a demon in the form of the horse personifies the practitioner's conception of being more expert than others in devotional service. We've already mentioned that. You can just think about the ramifications. When he comes to Vraja, he creates a great disturbance. As a Vaishnava gradually begins proclaiming his own superiority, a mentality of disrespect for the Lord arises and the devotee falls from his position. Usually, before the attitude of disrespect for the Lord arises, the attitude of disrespect for the Lord's agents arises. His representatives, in other words, the devotees. You have to be very careful. It's considered to be like a mad elephant, but here it's a crazy horse. So, therefore, it's most important to prevent this evil mentality from entering the heart. Even if one is expert in devotional service, a Vaishnava will never give up the quality of humility. If one does so, then there is a need for killing Keshi. This is the 18th obstacle. What is that anarta that Keshi demon represents? The mentality, I'm a great devotee. I'm an acharya. A mundane false ego and opulence. These are all destroyed by the killing of the Keshi demon. That's what it's meant to represent. Okay? So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's understanding of the Keshi demon. We will begin what's here on the board. Number one? Which text is on the board? All of them. Six verses. How's it so? Okay, oh, he can move. Okay, got it. It's not just one of these anymore. It's high tech now. Okay, so please repeat. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Keshi Tukangsa Pratihap Kudair Mahin. Mahahayo Nirjarayan Mano Javaha. Sadavaduta Bhravimana Sankulam. Kurvanna Poheshita Bhishitakhilaham. Tam Trasayantam Bhagavan Swagokulam. Tadheshitair Valavikurnitambudam. Atmanama Jau Mrigayantam Agranir. Upahoyatsa Vyanadan Mrigendravata. In the interest of saving time, I'm just going to read the translations. Sri Shukdev Goswami said, the demon Keshi, sent by Kamsa, appeared in Vraja as a great horse, running with the speed of the mind, Manojavam. Anybody know this? Manojavam Maruta Tulyavegam? Famous shloka. At least in South they know it. Okay, so he's running at the speed of the mind, this Keshi horse. And he tore up the earth with his hooves. The hairs of his mane scattered the clouds and the demigods' airplanes throughout the sky. And he terrified everyone present with his loud neighing. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw him, saw how the demon was frightening his village of Gokula, Swogokulam, the word is used here. Just like in the Padma Purana, we hear Swaghosham. Right? His own people. So the Swagokulam. So then the Lord came forward to meet him. Keshi was searching for Krishna to fight, so when the Lord stood before him and challenged him to approach, the horse responded by roaring like a lion. Not an ordinary horse. We're going to hear some pretty amazing things about this Keshi demon. It's not like he was just a little bigger than most horses. No. Just like, you know, you can't say that an acharya is, you know, little better than everybody else. No. It's not like that. All right. So, Sridhar Swami, Keshadayar Avadhuna Adina Anitas. Yeah, you know, the word is used, Avadhuta. We know this word, but in this case it means coming forth. It means several things. What else? That's okay. Agrani means situated in front. Jiva Goswami writes in Lagu Vaishnava Toshini that he scattered the clouds and the demigods' airplanes with his hair. That's why he was called Keshi. Keshi means somebody with a lot of hair. Keshi, yeah, that, and in fact Krishna is called Keshava because he kills Keshi. In the 1970s they used to have long hair and Prabhupada was always teasing his disciples. Keshi. Krishna kills Keshi. Keshava. Keshavaya Namaha. So, this demon, Jiva Goswami continues, he was making terrorism all over Krishna's Vraja, Swagokulam. And Vaishampayana, he quotes, this must be from, Harivamsa. With the sound of an angry lion, Keshi, impelled by time, came to the cowherd village one morning. Seeing him, all the cowherds, along with their women and children, fled. How to describe Gokula? It was the shelter of prema, just like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. What is that? That place where love of Godhead naturally arises is Vrindavan, where the ruling deity, presiding deity, is Srimati Radharani, where my great hope resides. Mamastu Vrindavana Eva Vasaha. May that Vrindavan only be my shelter. So this is the glory of Gokula. Let us not take advantage or take it for granted, just like we don't take the Lord's devotees for granted. So Krishna called to the horse. Leaving the frightened villagers behind him, Krishna went on the path to the Yamuna, and he came face to face, Agrani, that's the word here, with Keshi. This place is famous as what? Keshi Ghat. That's why. This is where it happened. On the Yamuna, north of Govindasthan. Varaha Purana, in glorifying the Yamuna, says, Ganga Shatash Gunam Punya Yatra Keshi Nipatitaha. There's a place 100 times more pure than the Ganga, and that's where Keshi was killed. Keshi Ghat Ki Jai. Vishnu Purana says, oh, here it is. He's hearing the words of the people, save us, save us. Krishna spoke in a deep voice like thunderclouds. Don't be afraid. Why are you fearful of Keshi? Because of him, has your courage disappeared? What is the use of this wicked horse? He's got no strength. He's proud. He gallops around taking strength from demons only. Krishna's blaspheming. Harivamsa again says, seeing Keshi, the horse demon, attack him, Krishna attacked in return, just as a cloud covers the moon. And why is he called the moon? Keshi? Why is he compared to the moon? He was white in color. We find throughout the Vedic literatures, sometimes horses that are white, they're very highly glorified, especially if they have one black ear. We find this many times, actually. So Keshi approached Krishna, thinking Krishna as an ordinary person, and the cowherds also thought of Krishna as an ordinary person, but there's a big difference, isn't there? Big difference. The devotees are not to be taken very lightly. They may look like ordinary pound shilling pence men, or they may look like, they may have the same conception as the demons have. Well, he's just a little boy, helpless. But their conception is imbued with love, and the demon's conception is imbued with envy, irshya, bhava. So, they said, No, Krishna, don't approach him. He's too wicked. You're just a child, and he's unconquerable. We're going to hear about some of Keshi's opulences. So they said he's Kamsa's original life heir in an external form as a horse. Whatever that means. He's the best of the king of horses. He's incomparable in fighting. He causes fear in all armies. He's the strongest, he can't be killed by anybody, and he's the most sinful. Don't go near him. They were afraid. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also, he summarizes. Now back in Vishnu Purana, we heard that Krishna reassured the terrified Vrijavasis that a real hero has no fear of such a horse who can only make big noise. That's what Krishna said. So then Krishna faced directly Keshi. This is what's being described here. Ehi dushta krishno aham pushnas tviva pinaka drika patayashyami dajanan vananad akilams tviva. You understand? So he says, come on, I'm Krishna. That's what Krishna says. I'm about to knock out all your teeth. Just as Pinakathara did with Pushan. That's for those of you who don't remember or don't read enough. This is 4th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 21. Just as Baladev knocked out the teeth of Dantavakra, the king of Kalinga, so during the gambling match at the ceremony of Anuruddha, Virabhadra knocked out the teeth of both Daksha and Pusha. Because same thing, Pusha was smiling sympathetically, and so Balaram decided this man requires some dental work. So Vishnu Parva describes him, Harivamsa again. Keshi was angry, courageous, and sinful. He ate cows and men, both. He was able to jump high into the sky. We'll see that in a moment. I mean, nowadays, eating cows, it's no big thing. But eating a man, that's news. But one day it will be that's also everyday event. No problem. Yeah, I ate my neighbor yesterday, no problem. So, this is how Kali Yuga advances, especially if we offend the devotees. So, Keshi followed all of Kamsa's ideals, and he was exceedingly proud. That we heard already. So, hearing the frightened Vrijavasis, Krishna was attacking him like this. All right, text 3. Satam nishamya bhimukho makhenatkam pibannivabhyadravrad atyamarshanaham jaghanapadbyam aravindalochanam durasadashchandajavo duratyayaham. Seeing the Lord standing before him, Keshi ran towards him in extreme rage, his mouth gaping as if to swallow up the sky. Rushing with furious speed, the unconquerable and unapproachable horse demon tried to strike the lotus-eyed Lord with his two front legs. Which legs? Bookmark that. In the Tikas, Sridhar Swami says, this means he was atyamarshano, or atikupita. He was extremely enraged. Atyantama sahamano va. He was not able to tolerate this Krishna. He was ready to take him out, so he thought. And he was a formidable character, Chandavajavas, very fierce, tivra. Jiva Goswami likewise says, Keshi tried to kill Krishna, who had lotus eyes. With eyes blossoming like lotus flowers, Krishna glanced at the demon in disrespect. Usually Krishna is very respectful, but here Krishna was not respectful. It's an example. And Shukdev criticizes Keshi since he didn't change his evil nature even upon seeing the youthful beauty of Krishna. That's really sick. If you come in front of the deity and nothing changes, see how sick we are? We're like Keshi ourselves. Not so far away. So, the demon, looking at Krishna, ran towards him to attack. He was difficult to grab, durasadaha, since he moved so quickly. How fast did he move? Yes, you've been listening. Good. Manojava. Thus, he was difficult to defeat. Not for Krishna, but ordinarily he was difficult to defeat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instead says that Keshi used his hind legs. We have a direct contradiction here. He didn't kick Krishna with his front legs, he kicked him with his hind legs, as horses usually do that. But both opinions are authoritative because they're both based on Shastra, which we'll see in a moment. And even if it's not mentioned in the Shastra does say that Krishna's pastime sometimes in different kalpas, there's a little difference in variation. Just like here, do we have DMart in Delhi? In South India they have this. I never go to cities except for the South. You know, we have a big chain store, right? So every outlet will be a little bit different in the format, but they're basically all the same merchandise and also in the same order. They try to keep it as much as they can. But because of the physical structure of the building itself, there's going to be a little variation. So in the same, this is an example given by His Holiness Girirad Swami. Very brilliant example. So in the same way, when Krishna performs his pastimes, sometimes it's a little different. Recently, we celebrated the appearance day of Narasimhadev. So Rupa Goswami mentions in his, I think it's Laghu Bhagavatamritam, sometimes Lord Narasimha does not come as a half man, half lion. He comes as a cat. Believe it or not. Cats like milk. So, anyway, this is what's happening here. He used his hind legs, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And this particular part where he attacks Krishna first, it's not mentioned in Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Purana instead says that Krishna just directly put his arm down his throat. Finished. Very quickly. Just he didn't, that time, he didn't want to play. He just wanted to get it done. So, when Keshi kicked Krishna with his hind legs, the force was so strong that that kick echoed throughout the sky and the ground shook. The ground wasn't kicked. Krishna was kicked, but the ground shook. That's how forceful it was. Harivamsa also says, Keshi kicked Krishna's chest with his front legs. We're going back and forth. But he also tried to bite Krishna's lotus hand. And he struck Krishna on all sides. He was really, according to Harivamsa, he was really, really angry. Okay, text 4. Tadvancha yadva tamadhoksha jorusha pragrahya durbhyam parividhyapadayoho savagnyam utsrijyadhanu shatantare yathoragam tarkshaisuto vyavasthitaha. That means, but the transcendental Lord dodged Keshi's blow and then with his arms angrily seized the demon by the legs, whirled him around in the air, and contemptuously threw him the distance of 100 bow lengths, just as Garuda might throw a snake. And Lord Krishna then stood there. It was no sweat for him. So, Tathaiva Sthito Bhuva, Sridhar Swami adds here, after having cheated, actually, Vancha Yatva means having cheated the Keshi demon. He dodged it, means he cheated his intention. Krishna's just a little bit, sometimes Krishna likes to play a little bit and then he kills you if you're a demon. So, Krishna avoided his blow, Jiva Goswami explains. Because he's beyond the knowledge of the senses, how could Keshi strike him? Atokshaja. Actually, Gopi Paranatana Prabhu used to describe this name of Krishna. Atokshaja. Akshaja. Ankh. Akshaja means what's born of your eyesight. Means what you can perceive. Eyesight is a... It's representing all the senses. So whatever knowledge is born of your senses, adha, Krishna puts that down. He suppresses that. So if you're trying to understand Krishna with your blunt material senses, you're going to be frustrated. That's what it means, adhokshaja. So how foolish this Keshi demon was. How could he strike Krishna with his hooves? Having avoided the blow, angry because the demon had spread fear in Vraja, Krishna grabbed the demon's legs. Or, he gives an alternative, Jiva Goswami, that in a playful manner, Arusha, he grabbed the demon's legs and then threw him at a great distance. And of course, Keshi fainted. This is from Jiva Goswami's Laghu Vaishnava Toshni. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, again, when Keshi kicked Krishna with his hind legs, Krishna dodged him, grabbed Keshi's extended legs with his hands, twirled him around and threw him 600 feet away. Astonishingly, Krishna did all this while standing in one place. It's not like he had to pivot or anything. Harivamsa. Keshi, unsuccessfully tried to ram the Lord's chest using his own. And Garga Samhita says something even more interesting. Krishna threw Keshi 8 miles into the sky. That was quite a ride. A little bit like that Trinavarta. Now that every afternoon the Trinavartas are coming, right? hot, dusty winds. Okay, text 5. Salabdha sanyah punaruthito rusha vyadaya keshi tarasapatad dharim sopyasya vaktre bhujam uttaram smayan praveshayam asayathoragam bile. Upon regaining consciousness, Keshi angrily got up, opened his mouth wide, and again rushed to attack Lord Krishna. But the Lord just smiled and thrust his left arm into the horse's mouth as easily as one would make a snake enter a hole in the ground. Now it's really good. Listen to the tikas. Well, Jiva Goswami says, the wicked demon got up, although thrown at a distance, he still got up again. Just as a curious person will put a snake into a mouse hole without fear of any mishap, so Krishna put his fist into Keshi's mouth, which represented his life air. Keshi stood up after having regained consciousness, opened his mouth wide, and charged again. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explaining. But Krishna just laughed, showed him his left thumb, and said, "You want to eat something? Here, eat this." And then Krishna thrust his entire left arm into Keshi's open mouth to kill him. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishnu Purana says, instead of throwing Keshi far away, Krishna straight away rams his arm down the demon's throat, by which he also delivered on his promise to knock out all the demon's teeth. He had said that, remember, in Vishnu Purana. Harivamsa confirms he put his arm down Keshi's throat, knocking out all of his teeth in the process, and stunning him to such a degree that the demon was virtually immobilized. Garga Samhita, very interestingly, says, Keshi then came back and hit Krishna with his tail. Now, Keshi's tail, it seems, had some sort of razor attached to it. So he was again and again trying to attack Krishna with his tail. That's what it means, because ordinarily we don't think that a horse's tail is going to injure you, right? But Keshi was not an ordinary horse. So this time Krishna became irritated and threw him 80 miles into the sky. He already threw him 8 miles. Now it's times 10. 80 miles into the sky. Now when Keshi hit the ground, he was disturbed, but still, he was okay. He got up and attacked Krishna again. It's kind of like Jarasandha, right? Hope springs eternal. No matter how many times you're frustrated in your materialistic endeavors, we don't give them up, isn't it? Really stubborn. Asura-bhavam. Asura-bhavam ashrita. Who's he talking about? So, he still attacked. He reared up on his hind legs in order to trample the Lord, but Krishna punched him so hard that Keshi was knocked out for 1 hour, unconscious, knocked out. Professional boxing. So, yet Keshi awoke eventually and pulled Krishna 80,000 miles into space. We heard already, remember? Keshi had this ability to fly into the sky, far distances. So this is what Garga Samhita describes. And there they fought for 6 more hours. But when Keshi again tried to attack Krishna with his razor-laden tail, Krishna grabbed him and with both arms threw him back down to the earth. That must have hurt. You can imagine. Text 6. Dantani petur bhagavat bhujas prashaste keshinas taptamayas prasho yatha bahushcha tadgeha gato mahatmano yathamayah sam vavarthe upekshitah. Kreshi's teeth immediately fell out when they touched the Supreme Lord's arm, which the demon felt to be as hot as molten iron. Within Kreshi's body, the Supreme Personality's arm then expanded greatly, like a diseased stomach swelling because of neglect. Purport by the editors, BBT editors, Sri Dainanda Das Goswami and Gopi Pananadana Prabhu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that although Lord Krishna's arm is more tender and cooling than a blue lotus, to Kreshi it felt extremely hot, as if made of lightning bolts. Ati taptam, taptamayam yadva. Sridhar Swami says, lohadi sprishanto yateti. It was like his arm was like iron. And hot iron. That can't be very pleasing. He glosses the word amayo, diseased, distended stomach, jalodaram. So Jiva Goswami says, his teeth were pulled out at the roots. Harivamsa says, Dashanayar Mulani Muktaihi. His came out, they came out by the roots. The teeth had touched the arm of Krishna, endowed with all powers. The arm did not change. Just by its touch, the teeth fell out. Although the teeth were as hard as thunderbolts and huge. Vishnu Purana says, Sita Pravayava Iva. The teeth were like thunderbolts. The possessive kriya. Okay, so I'm going to skip over this. This is Jiva Goswami, Loga Vaishnava Toshini. So, the teeth fell out, just as if you touch with hot iron, it's just going to take them out. So, the hand of the Lord with unlimited form expanded. The arm expanded throughout his whole mouth. Though it happened quickly, it was not astonishing. It expanded completely, blocking the path of air. This was not seen by others since it happened within the horse's body. A partial analogy is given. It was like untreated indigestion if a person is not eating. One sees suffering by such diseases. If the stomach suddenly expands within the body, it can cause a person's death. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, alas, alas, how could Krishna place his arm, tender as the stem of a blue lotus, into the mouth of Kreshi, which was filled with fierce teeth? To anticipate this objection, Pariksit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami spoke this verse. So as Krishna's teeth touched Krishna's arm and tried to chew on it, again he's trying to bite him again, they become uprooted and fell out, just as if they had tried to bite red-hot iron. Although Krishna's arm is softer and more cooling than a blue lotus, to Kreshi it felt as hard and hot as a thunderbolt. Just as a jaundiced person perceives sugar candy as bitter, you all take the hint. I mean, it's inescapable. Vishnath Chakravarti Dakur doesn't even have to quote anything. It's obvious. So, Krishna's arm expanded within Kreshi's mouth until he died, just as Krishna expanded his body within the mouth of Akhasura. I hope that the arm of Krishna's holy name is in my mouth. When I die. I mean, that's the way to go, really. Vishnu Purana says, here Krishna's arm kept on expanding until ultimately it split the demon's body in half. That's what Vishnu Purana says. From his torn lips, the demon vomited foam and blood. His eyes rolled in agony, his joints gave way, he beat the earth with his feet, and his body was covered with perspiration. He became incapable of any further effort. The formidable demon, having his mouth rent open by the arm of Krishna, fell down, torn asunder like a tree struck by lightning. He lay separated into two portions, each having one leg, half a back, one ear, one eye, and one nostril. He was totally split asunder. Kind of like it was the other one that was killed, Jarasandha. So, Harivamsa says, Krishna's lips and cheeks were torn apart and his throat was choked. Both of his eyes were bulged and came out. His chin was broken. Blood came out from his eye sockets. His ears upright. Keshi lost consciousness, beating his legs all around. What a sight that must have been. Right down the road. Next time you go there, think about all these things. What a drama. He passed urine and stool. He was sweating all over. All his limbs became still, ultimately. And Krishna, who is capable of performing difficult tasks, many difficult tasks simultaneously, as a matter of fact, Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, expanded his hand and forcefully split him. Being torn apart by the hand of Krishna, his mouth was disfigured. The Danava screamed loudly with immense pain. His body exhausted, he struggled and vomited blood. His limbs were severed. He was like a mountain split in two parts. And thus he fell down dead. Now, Krishna with his lotus eyes, this is text Vishnu Purana, this is Vishnu Parva, chapter 24, text 51. It says, Krishna with his lotus eyes killed Keshi in the fight by tearing his body into two pieces and then stood there smiling. Again, Mukta Balak, like nothing happened. Garga Samhita says, Krishna's lotus-like arm plunged all the way down Keshi's mouth and into his stomach. That explains why his stomach had distended, because Krishna's arm was inside there, expanded. That's how he blew apart the demon's body. So, now, and the rest is as in the Bhagavatam, but it's interesting because it goes on to say that one very effulgent being wearing beautiful jewelry and crown came out of Keshi's body, and he identified himself as Sri Kumud, the holder of Indra's parasol in Svarga Loka, Chhatratara. And he had all opulence as such a privileged position in Svarga Loka, but when Indra performed an Ashwamedha Yajna in order to free himself from the reactions of killing Vritrasura, Sri Kumud, somehow or other, he became so enchanted with the sacrificial horse, which had one black ear, that he tried to stole that. He tried to steal that horse. And thus Indra cursed Sri Kumud to become a horse-shaped demon on the earth for how long? 2 manvantaras. That's a long time. But now, freed by Lord Krishna, Sri Kumud humbly prayed to his new Lord. Just like Indra himself prayed later on. Gavam Indra. Kinkaram kurumam deva twadangrao lagnamanasam namastubhyam bhagavate sarvalokaika sakshine. Oh my Lord, please make me your servant. My heart is fixed on your feet. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, who is the witness of all. At least this is how Garga Samhita describes the end of this pastimes. All's well that ends well, as they say. Okay, now I'm going to end just by, as I said, just briefly mentioning texts 7 and 8, because although it's someone else's turf, there's no harm in repeating. So, as Krishna's expanding arm completely blocked Keshi's breathing, his legs kicked convulsively, his body became covered with sweat, and his eyes rolled around. The demon then passed stool and fell on the ground, dead. Ek mar do tokre, as they say. So, or if you're Tamil, they say, veti onnu tundarendu. The mighty armed Krishna withdrew his arm from Keshi's body, which now appeared like a long karateka fruit, without the least display of pride at having so effortlessly killed his enemy. The Lord accepted the demigod's worship in the form of flowers rained down from above. These same demigods whose airplanes Keshi's tail had scattered, now they all came back to watch the fun. And they all said, Jai, Jai, and rained down showers of flowers. Okay, so our time is out now, but I just wanted to say, because the analogy has already been suggested by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that this, just as Krishna's arm was like a red-hot iron to Keshi because of Keshi's demoniac pride, so in the same way for us, the very last thing our puffed-up false egos can handle, the word was used actually, asahamano, intolerable, the very last thing we can handle is to humbly submit to the Lord and to beg from Him for His pure devotional service. And therefore, for us, the holy name seems very difficult to chant. At least sometimes it's difficult to chant. Because we're all recipients of some mercy. Sometimes we can chant nicely. But at least some of the time, it's like a red-hot iron for us as well. It feels that way. So this is what we have to think about. And know from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by His grace, that what the culprit is, our pride, demoniac pride, insatiable, unstoppable pride, it seems, but it can be worn down by the immense power of the holy name of Krishna. We can become devotees. Hote hote, if we just keep on chanting every day, this is Rupa Goswami's advice, who knows the verse? Syat Krishna Nama Pito Piratrasanasya Narochikano Kintu Svadvi. So, Kintu, yes, Anudinam. If you just, day after day after day, if we keep at it, we will become pure devotees. It is guaranteed by Srila Prabhupada. It's free by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. And guaranteed by Srila Prabhupada, what do you have to do, actually? Except take it. Really take it. Not partially take it. But really sincerely try to chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or comments? Panchagoda is not here, so the questions have stopped. Or at least drive to a trickle. If there's no comments or questions, then we'll stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.